Good morning. Man, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Man, I tell you, everybody just take a deep breath. Has your day been like mine? It just started off crazy and just got crazier? Or am I the only one? I'm the only one? Hey, listen, look at somebody, give them a wave, give them a smile, and that says, hey, I'm glad that you're here today. You guys are looking good. It's good to see some folks that have been battling the illnesses that have been taking place. Good to see you guys back, and we're so glad to have this opportunity to be here in the house of the Lord today. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to one another. Now, our infamous Dr. Cazito is not able to be with us today, so you guys are just going to have to play nice with each other there, but give a good warm welcome to one another, and we'll be looking forward to just seeing what God's going to do as we take these times, moments, and opportunities to gather in His name and to be able to worship. So as we do so, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Father, as we come to you, we're once again grateful for the opportunity. Lord, help us to never take for granted the opportunity to be able to come together with like-minded believers, and Lord, just to rest in your Spirit. Lord, we know that you say where we gather together, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And Father, we know that today you are here. Lord, you want to speak to us. You want to speak into our hearts and lives. And we just ask that in the midst of everything that is taking place in our lives, that it wouldn't crowd you out today. Father, may we truly worship you in all that we do. Father, in just a few moments, we're going to lift our voices to you in song. And Lord, may they truly not just simply be repetitious, but we would think about and consider what it is that the words that are coming out of our mouth, and may they truly be from our hearts straight into your presence rather than just something that we have done habitually or something that we know. Lord, move us to worship today as only you can, and we'll be careful to praise you as we ask this in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, and I'm going to hand it right back.
We just, you know, sometimes we get in habit, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that today we're getting into that time that's close to about just a little over a month out before our Cuba mission team is leaving. We have been preparing for several months for this trip. Now, this is once again is going to be a very interesting trip. So more than anything, first of all, I want you to be sure to put us on your prayer list. We have a team of six that's going. That's about the average size team that we have. But this will be the first time that we've had an opportunity to return since the pandemic took place. Now, you know how different things are around here. Things are extremely different there as well. So I've mentioned to folks that us going is a lot like starting all over. So we don't exactly know what we're going to be getting into, you know, as we go over there. But historically, the way we have done missions at Central Baptist is the six guys, there's six of us that are going. And I'll be giving you the names as we go forward through this month. The team members that are going actually raise their support to go on this trip outside of the church. And the reason why we do that is because, you know, we allow the church to take care of and we give our church the opportunity to contribute to the ministry that's going to be taking place over there. So all of our guys have already had, our way is paid. We've done that outside of the church. But for the month of February, what we do is we will be taking a collection through the church that 100% of this goes to fund the mission in Cuba that we have done. I think this is the 18th year, minus the couple of years that we weren't able to go because of the pandemic. And as always, we have a pretty aggressive budget. These are things that we have been supporting in the past as we have gone to Cuba. The Awana missionary over there, that salary is solely provided by our church. Awana International is not able to get his funding over there. So we have actually linked him with the Eastern Baptist Convention of Cuba. That has worked out well in building relationships. He trains somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 churches
per year on how to do that. We have watched the results that are just amazing. I always share this as a little illustration that we went there, connected the Awana missionary with the Eastern Baptist Convention, basically vouched for him and said, it's okay, this is a good program, this is a good fella. And what we did is you, as a body of believers, have been funding his annual support. We carry that with us when we go. We give that to the convention, and the convention pays his salary. So he has not had a salary in the last 2 years because that's the only way that he can get it. He has not stopped. He has continued to go out there. He has continued to strive and thrive. The first time we did this, we challenged them, and there was a church that we had been working with that had probably maybe 12 to 15 young people. The next year when we went back, they had 80 kids that were there that had trusted Christ, that were learning about our Lord, and we thought that was pretty amazing. Well, he said, well, we're not done yet. He said, we need to go right down the street because they went into an apartment complex and actually started another Awana program there. And there were 80 more children that were there that were coming to that. So these are the things. This is just an example of the things that you, as believers through Central Baptist Church, have been able to do over there. That's a ministry that keeps on. It perpetuates. And that is just one example of what takes place. We also, this year, a dire need for them are tires for the van for the senior retirement center, which is what we were over there to build, what we will be doing maintenance on. And you just fall in love with them sweet little old folks, man. I'm telling you, because you know, I think all of us are kind of starting to resemble them, but you can't help but love them, just the sweet spirit about them. And this is to get them to doctor's offices and different places of that nature, but it takes a certain set of tires. Well, we secured the tires, but like everything, Satan tries to stop that. So so far, we're working on getting a humanitarian pass to be able to get those over there. But if not, we're going to have to carry an extra bag. Four of the six team members will have to carry an extra bag. And just right off the bat, that's $200 per bag to go. So essentially, just to get those over there would cost, four tires would cost $800 just for us to be able to carry them. And then you had the cost of the tires, which I think that was another $300. So getting them over there would actually cost more. So I need you to pray that the humanitarian pass comes through. We are flying American Airlines going in there, so that is an American Airlines rule. But as we go, normally what we take, we pack as light as we can, and we will generally leave everything that we take as far as clothing. We pretty much come back literally with the shirts on our back because they need the clothing. They need the food. Over the past 2 years, our church has been able to successfully, through various channels, be able to help them when famines were bad over there so that the senior adults had food. I mean, it is that bad. I just wish that you had an opportunity to be able to see this, and little as much when God's in it. So I say all that, and I'm going to give you some examples as we go through the month, but beginning today, we are actually, like we normally do when our mission teams get ready to go out, we are asking you to, first of all, and most importantly, prayerfully support our team. That's one thing. The second thing is we're asking you to pray about what God would have you to do financially to support this ministry. We are looking, if we do the support the ministries that we have in the past, we're needing to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $7,100. That would be able to take care of all the things that we have perpetuated while we've been over there for the past 18 years. Again, this is not about us going to Cuba and then doing good things for that week while we're there. It's about us being able to support the nationals while we're there so that ministry continues on the other 51 weeks out of the year other than just when we're there. So we have reconnected. Most of y'all remember Pastor Julio, who was here in January, I believe it was 2 years ago. He still has not been able to make it back to Cuba. Just because of the pandemic actually kept him here. And he was just a few months out of being able to file for dual citizenship, so he's been staying with his sister in Tampa. But his plan is that once he gets the dual citizenship, what he's going to do is he is going to be able to bring his family over, so they'll be able to travel back and forth. But their ultimate plan is to be able to go back to Cuba once again. But we worked very heavily through his church at Ducaro. That's the one where we supported the music ministry and so many other things. It was funny because I had a chance to communicate with their pastor over there, who is now pastoring that church. And he said, I remember you. And of course, you know, you kind of scratch your head. And he said, you came to the seminary one time and spoke to the graduating pastors. Well, let me put it to you this way. That must have been about probably 15 years ago. His memory is a whole lot better than mine. I remember going to the seminary. It was one of those trips when everybody was literally just gassed. And myself, and it was when Sean Vernon was on staff with us. So myself and Sean Vernon were the two that went to the seminary to speak to the folks. So the pastor's name is Roe Elvis Roe. So that's a easy one to remember. So we're going to go see Elvis. But we look forward to being able to minister through that church. Once again, he has invited us back to be able to do that. So we're excited about it. We're getting to see folks that have become more like family. And I would just love for each and every one of us to have the opportunity to be able to see them and get to know them. A lot of folks in here that have had the opportunity to travel in the past know and understand that. So we're looking forward to being able to get this trip going once again. Looking forward to seeing Pastor Donis as well as the residents of the retirement center that have become like grandmas and grandpas to us. And over the last couple of years, we've lost a few of them, and it just saddens my heart. But yet we do know that because of Christ, there is victory, and we're going to have that opportunity to see them again. So let me just kind of finish today's presentation up by saying, if God leads you to financially support this ministry, and again, 100% of what you give is going toward the ministries. It's not going to get us there. We've already got we've raised our support outside of the church. But the monies that you give through the church will perpetuate these ministries. And I just gave you one example today. That is the Awana Missionary. But I have a list right here. This is our budget that we're planning. What we are able to do or not do is going to be based on how the Lord leads our church to be able to give. So just keep that in mind as you prayerfully consider it. The church has always done a wonderful job in supporting mission endeavors. At Central Baptist, but the thing about it is we look different than we did a couple of years ago. So I'm asking you to prayerfully consider what God would have us to do. And once again, first and foremost, we got to have your prayers. It doesn't happen without your prayers. That's the most critical thing. But secondly, is the financial support. If the Lord leads you to give, you can stick that in one of the envelopes and just mark it Cuba Missions. That way, those who are our tellers and our finance folks will know that money that you are giving designated to the Cuba ministry, 100% of that will go towards this particular budget. And we have to actually carry that with us. We can't send it to them. You can't get cards and all these things. We actually have to carry that with us when we go. So our trip is planned to leave on March the 10th. That is on a Friday, and we will be coming back on March the 17th. So we're taking this time through the month of November. Okay, November. I was thinking about when we had to have all of our travel documents in. That's how long we've been planning it. The month of February, there we go, I got that right. The month of February, we will be taking this offering. Once again, 100% of that goes to field the ministries that we have budgeted. And folks, we're counting on you because if we don't get the aggressive budget that we have here, we have to figure out what we're going to cut out. And it's a shame to cut any of it out when these folks count on it. Some of them count on it actually for their salaries to be able to go forward. A lot of this money goes toward the retirement center to take care of being able to feed them throughout the whole year and so many other things. Again, I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but my challenge is prayerfully consider what you can give. If you do give, put it in one of the envelopes. There's some in the envelopes in the narthex. There may be some in the back of your pew there. If you need one, just holler at somebody who looks like they're from around here, know what they're doing. We'll make sure you get you one. But just list that as Cuba mission, and 100% of that will go with us. And then when we get back, we'll be tickled to death just to be able to give you the report of where your dollars that God led you to give has gone to perpetuate ministry in the Santiago, Cuba, and surrounding areas. So remember, prayer first, give second, but give quick, because we got to make plans. We'll be looking forward to that. Brother Brad, come on up.
Lead us as we continue to worship.
Please stand with me as we sing 247, Come Thou Almighty King.
Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father, all glorious, O'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days.
Excited about that. We have room for more. We practice at 5 on Sundays. So anyway, grateful to have everybody here today. Look forward to more. 410, It Is Well With My Soul, a beautiful song. We're going to sing all four verses today. And on the last verse, the organ and piano are going to drop out. We're going to sing that a cappella.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I needed that this morning. How about you guys? You know, we have those times, those moments, and those opportunities where we can find ourselves being very distracted. You ever find yourself in that particular viewpoint? Today, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's gospel in chapter 7. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with me. And I appreciated the worship this morning. I don't know, maybe for me, a little bit more than I had in the past. And here's the reason why. Have you ever noticed that when things are going on in your life, you can often be distracted? Now, Satan is the king of distraction, isn't he? Oh, he loves to put stuff. And by the way, he'll put stuff in your way that's important. Important things that just distract you. Things that can irritate you. People that can irritate you. Now, none of y'all have ever been irritated by people before, have you? Yeah, I didn't think so. Thank God I'm in such a holy place, right? And it doesn't always have to be people. It can be things. But here's my question. When those circumstances and situations take place in your life, how do you react to them? Because that says a multitude about a lot of things. I think God always likes to give me some real deal lessons when it comes time to preach a message, because, you know, I still, even after 31 years, Saturday nights, I'm like a kid on Christmas Eve. You know, it's hard to go to bed. I look things over and usually up fairly late, later than I should be. And everything was right with the world when I went to bed. And I'm like, get up, get to church, do my thing, only to have Jana wake me up earlier than I normally get up to say, it's 60 degrees in the house. So what do I do? I do the dad and fatherly thing, put on some old pants, crawl up under the house, and stare at the furnace. Think, well, maybe I can touch it and heal it. I don't know. I'm not a furnace fighter. I don't know what to do. I flipped some switches. I tried some different things. I had an anomaly going on this morning. Because see, the blower on the furnace wouldn't shut off either, but it wasn't, you know, calling for heat. I couldn't get it to shut off for anything. I thought, well, I'll shut it off. I'll just turn the breaker off. I turned the breaker off. Blower's still running. I ain't figured that one out yet. But I thought, I got to get to church. You know, I got to preach this morning. There's 10,000 things going on all day long. What am I? It's going to get cold tonight. What's going to happen? And, of course, the positive side of that is that we've got the heat repaired in the office. Now it's out at my house. So I can't seem to catch a break when it comes down to heat. But then I thought to myself, you know what? You choose how you're going to react to the situation. And often, we don't choose well, do we? We get to be, and I know this is a real spiritual term, I learned it growing up, we get crabby. You know what I'm saying? We get crabby. You know? It's kind of like, you know, if Blake was to stick his head under the house and say, how's it going? It's not good, not good. Sometimes what we do, let me rephrase it. Oftentimes what we do is we allow those circumstances and situations to dictate what our attitude is. Now, I had a choice under the house staring at the furnace unit. I could let that get me down. I could let that hinder me from what God had called me to do this morning. Or I could sit back and say, Lord, This didn't catch you by surprise. You know what's going on. You know how to get it done. Handle it. But as for me, I want to try to keep my mind in the right place because something very important is going to happen today. And you see, here's the thing. When Satan knows that, he tries his best to stop us. You see, this morning I got to come up here going, oh, what's going to fall apart next? All right, everybody get your Bible out. You're going to get the shortest message you've ever heard from me. And some of y'all go, hallelujah. Or we could put things in the priority in which they need to go. Now, ironically enough, there was a guy that I met years ago that's name just popped into my head. You think that was by accident? I just happened to have his number. He just happens to be a heat and an air guy. So I sent him a text message and said, can I get in line? You know how, can I get in line? Usually you'll hear, sure, 2 months from next Tuesday. He's sending somebody out today. So Blake's at the house. Hey, Bubba. He gonna make sure, you know, and more than likely by the time I get home, things will be fixed. Now, I don't know that, but let me tell you what I know. I know I am not going to allow it to dictate the joy that I have in my heart because of who Jesus is. Amen. So here's something we need to understand. Every one of us have stuff going on in our lives, don't we? That's my theological word, stuff. And here's the, most people don't know about the stuff. And too often, we allow the stuff to make us crabby or irritable or irresponsible. And those are those times, and you've seen it, because what's happened is that loved one in your life, they come in, you're like, hey, how you doing? Why, it's just a terrible day. And you're like, whoa, what side of the bed did you get up on? Who messed you up today? And obviously, you know something has caused that reaction. How do you react when that takes place? Listen, let me tell you how we generally don't react. We generally don't say to ourselves, that person must have a lot going on in their life right now. That person must have some serious circumstances or situations that are taking place. Let me approach them with love and let me approach them with admiration. No, that's not what we do. You know what we normally do? Well, make your own breakfast then. Get your own stuff together. You ain't gonna treat me like that. Uh-uh. Our understanding goes right out the door. So here's what I want us to consider, not only today, but as we go forward. How do you view the people in your life? Look with me, if you would, today at Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading at verse 36. Now, you have to listen fast because I have to talk fast because I'm running out of time. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36, it says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. The hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing, with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Let's pray. Father, as you speak to our hearts today, I pray that you would give us careful ears to listen to what the Spirit speaks into our hearts today. Lord, move us in your direction. Help us, Lord, to see people through the eyes of the Holy Spirit rather than our own earthly eyes, that it may change our hearts and our lives forever. That's what we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we get the idea of what's taking place here, and I love this where it starts off. It says, then one of the Pharisees, remember the Pharisees were always the ones that were trying to catch Jesus and trick him and bring him down in some way, shape, form, or fashion, but yet Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not going to that Pharisee's house. This is probably some sort of trick or something. He said, no, I'll go sit down and eat with him. And the Pharisees always had that kind of holier than thou, better than you are sort of attitude. And so Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house, and why he's there and why he's having a meal, it says in verse 37, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, obviously, this is not something that somebody had to guess about. I am fairly confident that this woman had a reputation. I am sure that everybody, when they saw her, knew that she was a sinner. She was that person. And you all know what, you know what I'm talking about. You know people like that. And you're like, oh, okay, I don't know about that guy. Everybody knew this. And it says in verse 37, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, you have to understand something. Yet Jesus drew a crowd wherever he went. It's not a problem. Things are a little different. I'll just go ahead and say it this way. Privacy was a little bit different back in that day than it is today. If somebody knew that Jesus was going to a particular place, they didn't have to be invited by the homeowner. They just showed up. I mean, that's the way it was. And you expected that. And they were essentially more than welcome. They wanted to see what was going on with this Jesus. So there were probably oodles and oodles of people. Another spiritual college term, oodles. There was just a bunch of people who were there to see them. You know, almost like they was giving something away. Wherever Jesus was, people were. And so this lady, who's a sinner, finds out that Jesus is going to be at this particular Pharisee's house. Now, she already knows something. You know what she already knows? She already knows she has a reputation. She already knows what people think about her. She already knows that the Pharisees have this holier-than-thou attitude. And yet, she still chose to go and be in the presence of Jesus. Regardless of what ridicule may come, she still made the journey. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. What was it that made her make that journey? Let me give you a hint. She loved Jesus more than what other people thought about her. She knew what Jesus meant to her. And because of that, she was willing to accept whatever ridicule so that she could go and be in the midst and in the presence of the Holy One. You know what we do today? We do the exact opposite thing of what we should do. When we need to be running to Jesus, we run away from Him. Think about that. Think about that. Yeah, people maybe have had a tough time. Maybe church people that you know, and what they do, where they need to be, is actually in church with brothers and sisters that will love them and support them, and instead they go the other way. Now let me tell you why. Because most often we don't react the way we should. We're like, oh, I can't believe that person did that. Let me tell you, in my years of ministry, having reached out to somebody that's been taken in a fall, I've been ridiculed for that. Now, let me tell you how I feel about that. I don't care. Let me tell you why. Because I'd a whole lot rather please my Lord than to please anybody down here. And I know that someday I'm going to stand before him, and my prayer is that I'm going to hear, you know what, Roy, you did good. Shame on the rest of you for not doing what you should have done in the midst of that. Oh, well, God, you just don't know how bad it was. Like you're going to tell God that. I don't care how bad it was. No one is beyond the reach of the Savior. And when taken in a fall, let me tell you what they need more than anything. They need love. They need love to back to the kingdom, not shunned from it. And this woman who had a love for Jesus, listen, she was screwed up. Well, how do we know? The Bible tells us she was a sinner. She admitted that she was a sinner. That didn't make her feel any better about it. But it wasn't going to keep her from the one that she knew would love her, the one that could give her eternal life. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I'm going to see Jesus, and I know that he's over at a Pharisee's house, and I'm going to go over there, and I am going to do something that is special in my heart. We've heard the song before. A lot of y'all may have remembered it or heard it before, but called the Alabaster Box. You ever heard that song? See, this was something of great value to this lady. In fact, from your research that I've been able to do, it says that the ointment or the perfume that was in that box would be equal to about a year's worth of salary in that day. Now think about it for a minute. You want to donate a year's worth of your salary? And you know what? She didn't sit back and say, oh, I want everybody to see what's taking place and going on. No, that wasn't her thing. See, what it was she was so in love with Jesus at that particular point that material things didn't matter. All she knew was that this was an ointment. She wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. She wanted to do something to show her appreciation for the Savior, her love for the Savior. Imagine what's going through her mind. She gets this box of great value to her. She goes to a place where she knows she's not going to be welcome to be in the presence of Jesus. And she gets in there and gets close enough to him. She doesn't stop the show of what's going on. She just goes ahead and does what she planned on doing as an act of worship. She begins to anoint the feet of Jesus. Look at verse 38. It says, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. When you get in the presence of Jesus, the sin in your life should cause you to weep. And you know what pains me today? We don't seem to weep over our own sin anymore. It's just become commonplace. Yeah, whatever. It's been dulled down by society. We have renamed it things like alternative lifestyle. We try to flower it up and call it something other than sin. And folks, let me tell you, sin will always be sin in the presence of the Savior. And here's the thing. See, part of the problem, people would sit back and say, you might say, preacher, well, why do you think that people don't weep over their sin anymore? Let me tell you why. Because we're not getting in the presence of God like we should. Because when you get in the presence of God, you will see things the way God sees them. And when you see yourself through the lens that God puts up, it should make you weep. And some of us would sit back and say, well, you know, I'm not really that bad. Well, let me tell you this. Last time I checked, the Word of God says that our righteousness, the good stuff we do, is even as filthy rags in the presence of the Father. You're not going to stand in front of God and not be broken. What's the problem today? We don't stand in the presence of God much anymore. And that's the reason that our heart's not broken over our own sin. Now, I picture this woman coming behind Jesus, not trying to gander his attention or anything, but to simply do something that she felt led to do. And she takes this expensive oil, and she begins to anoint his feet as an act of worship. And then it happened. What is this woman doing? Get her out of here. She don't belong here. Time out. That's exactly where she belonged, at the feet of Jesus. And it's the same place you and I belong. And that Pharisee probably went, pfft. Because remember what the Pharisee said? Now, look at verse 39. Just drop down there real quick. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. That's a little pfft. Didn't say it out loud. He spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, so now we're going to judge Jesus too. If he were really a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is touching him, for she is a sinner. Well, guess what? Glory be to God. Jesus was a prophet, and he knew exactly who she was. And he knows exactly who you and I are today. And yet the crowd sitting there judging not only Jesus, but the woman. Both of them. You can't win. Listen, if you think you can walk in the middle, you ain't going to win on either side. Might as well pick one. Well, as for me, I've picked the winning team. I read the end of the book. I know how it ends. So he makes this snide little comment. And I love how Jesus approached it in verse 40. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he says, oh, say it, teacher. And then he gives him this illustration. Talks about the two creditors. Notice verse 41. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. There's a big difference between 500 and 50. Let's just call it dollars. $500 and $50. And he goes on and says, and when they didn't have the money by which to repay, it says he freely forgave them both. Oh, don't worry about that. Yeah, you. I know you can't pay it back. I know what's going on. Listen, guys, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me back. $500 and $50. And then he says at the latter part of verse 42, he says, tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more? And Simon answered verse 43 and told him, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Now listen, if you were the one that owed that money, and you were the one that owed $500, and the guy says, don't worry about it, you don't have to pay me back, just consider it a done deal. Wouldn't that make you happy? Now, again, the one that owed 50, he's sitting there going, well, that might be a little bit more reachable, but the guy said, oh, don't worry about it. You don't owe me anything. That's still a pretty big blessing, but it's kind of like, which blessing seems greater? The one who was forgiven a greater debt. Y'all seeing where this is going? Lord, I hope so. Then he did this. To me, this is one of the coolest verses in the Bible. Kind of like Jesus snapping you up by the nape of the neck. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Why do you think he said that? Let me tell you why. Because Simon really didn't see the woman. He saw a pawn. He saw an excuse. Now, Simon didn't sit back and say, well, you know what? Thanks be to God. Maybe this lady's life is going to change from here on. Maybe she's not going to be a sinner anymore. Maybe she's not going to do the things that she was doing before. Thank you, Lord. He wasn't happy that she had the chance and the moment and the opportunity to be redeemed of her sin. Do you see this woman? The answer to that question is no. Peter didn't see her. What he saw was just what he wanted to see. He didn't look at her and say, I don't know what happened in her life that got her where she is. The same way today, you don't know what's going on in that person's life that's grumpy and crabby. You don't know what may have taken place before. Hey, their furnace may have gone out and it might have been 60 degrees in their house that morning. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You don't know what is going on in people's lives. You don't know the great hurt or pain of a lost loved one that they might be going through. You don't know that they may not have lost their job. They may be in the process of being homeless or losing their house. You don't know. But let me make one thing very clear to you today. Every one of us and everyone that we don't know has a story. And most of it you don't know. And how do we react when they are less than stellar in our presence? Have you ever tried to find out what their story is? I'm that guy. I want to know. Call me nosy. Well, I'm a Baptist. We're nosy, aren't we? I mean, it's a guy one day that I saw out on the street, and he was hungry, and he said, man, he said, can I just have something for a meal? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm getting ready to eat lunch. I said, I'm by myself. I said, I'll buy you lunch. Would you eat lunch with me? He said, oh, yeah. Took him up to the counter, and he said, what can I get? I said, whatever you want. Oh, really? I said, yeah. And of course, we're at one of these high-class places called Burger King. Yeah, get anything you want, it's on me. He said, man, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I'd really like a Whopper. I said, would you like a double Whopper or a triple? He said, I ain't never had a double. I said, you might want to start with a double. And I mean, listen, this was legit. I could see it all over this thing. And the Lord brought him into my life that day. He said, can I get French fries? I said, man, if you want. I said, I'm getting onion rings. You can get French fries. I said, whatever you want. He said, I think I'll try them onion rings too. So he got the onion rings. Got a drink. And we sat down and I said, can I ask you a question? I said, everybody's got a story. Can you tell me yours? How did you get where you are? And as we had lunch, he told me one of the most tragic stories you ever heard. Broke my heart, still breaks my heart to this day. And I thought, nobody knows this. People sitting out there going, what guy's just out there panhandling people? Nobody has taken the time to hear his story. And I believe that today, you know what Jesus is saying to all of God's people? Roy, do you see this man? Do you see this woman? Do you really see this person? Because if you do, then there will be this thing that will well up inside you called compassion. And when the compassion wells up inside of you, it will create within you a passion. And when the passion lights up, nobody can stop you. And I will promise you that it'll be in the wheelhouse of what Jesus has gifted you to do when you identify that passion. See, we're too busy being about ourselves to see anybody else in 2023. Some of the most interesting things I've ever seen in my life is when you share something with somebody that has nothing. Let me tell you one of the most amazing things I've seen. I have seen them go share what they just got with somebody else who has nothing. We got done. I said, come on with me. I said, we got to go back up to the counter for a minute. He said, well, what? I said, now you need to try a triple Whopper. I said, you get that for tonight. I said, just get whatever you want so you'll have something to eat tonight. And this guy was genuinely grateful. Listen, he was not just grateful for the food. He was grateful for the conversation, for not being judged. I had a chance to talk to him about his spiritual condition. I had a chance to pray with him. And I believe with all my heart that he was blessed that day by the Father. And I said, by the way, this is not from me. This is from him. I'm just a tool. I'm just an instrument in his hands. Best Whopper I ever bought. It was at that point Jesus said, Roy, I want you to see this man. Verse 44, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. He didn't say it to the woman. He said it to Simon. Do you see this woman? Then he goes on to give a tongue lashing because he says in verse 44, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. That was just standard. That's what you would do with any guest. He didn't even do that to Jesus. He says, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Now, I've shared this with you before, but I think it warrants repeating once again. That was a big deal. You know, I don't know, but maybe she probably went there with the alabaster box of oil, and her intent was to anoint his feet, but because of her sinful condition and because of the conviction, I believe it brought tears to her eyes, and the tears began to fall out of her eyes on the feet of Jesus, and it probably embarrassed her. It was probably like, you know, I've got to stop. And she thought, I've got to do something to clean that up. And she probably didn't have anything else with her. So what she did was she let down her hair and she began to use the hair of her head to clean the feet of Jesus of the tears that she had shed on them. Now, I've said this, if you go back and you look at culture and history of that day, for a woman to let down her hair in a public place would have been the same as her taking her shirt off. You know, she didn't care. She was in the presence of Jesus. And she took the hair of her head and was probably just tapping to get that water off so that it wouldn't interfere with the alabaster box of oil and the act of worship that she was committing. And he said, look at what she's done. You didn't do any of that. Verse 45, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with a fragrant oil. Shame on you, Simon. And then he goes on to say, therefore I say to you, remember he told a little story before. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many. Oh, he is a prophet. Oh, he does know. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Why? Because she has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Now, here's where I want to wrap this up today. Are we loving big or little? When we look at those around us, when we look at each other, have we allowed the crabbiness of society today to dictate how we treat other people? Do we know what their story is? And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, even when you stand in the shoes of somebody who hasn't been that sinner, notice what he said. Now, I'm going to give it to you straight out. Jesus said, you are really good at looking and judging people for something that they've done. Maybe they've been gotten caught doing something. You're really good at going, oh man, we better stay away from them. But he said, but hold on a minute. Think about how much you have been forgiven. What has God forgiven you of. We're all horrible. I mean, hey, we don't have any right to stand in judgment. Don't that irritate you when somebody points a finger about something that they do themselves? Don't that just get you? Oh, it just irritates me to death. Well, you shouldn't be doing that. And then there's usually somebody in the crowd that says, well, you do. Shh, don't say that. See, every time I look at somebody, I try. I fail horribly. But I try to remember, what has God forgiven me of? What has He saved me from? Even when they treat you bad, I just say, Lord, some people are easier to love than others, aren't they? But see, what we want to do is we just want to snap back and say, well, I'll tell you what, when you're not as nasty, I'll come back around. Now, see, that's the time when they need love more. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she's loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. See, when we get the concept that we're all fine and all is right with the world, then what happens is we fail to look at our life and see what the Lord has forgiven us of. And then we tend to set in judgment over other people. I tell people I love the passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, actually starting with verse 1, it says this. It says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he goes on to say this. He says, the same standard of judgment that you use towards other people, if it's good enough for you to use on them, then it's good enough for me to use on you. Now, I need all the help I can get. I am the most forgiving person in the world. Don't think so? Ask me. No, just kidding. No, but let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I am. Because I sleep really well at night, even with no heat. I sleep really well at night. And here's why. Because I don't hold aught against anybody. Listen, people have done some horrible things. People have said horrible things to me. They've said horrible things about me in my lifetime. But you know what? I don't hold that inside. I don't try to get even. I don't think about retribution because vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus saith the Lord. I just go on and love and forgive, and it's worked well for me. I don't just say it. I mean it. That doesn't say that things don't hurt, because obviously they do. I like what one pastor said recently. A guy asked him, he said, what is the hardest part of pastoring? And this pastor's answer was, he says, when you walk through the toughest times in life with people by their side praying for them, and they wind up leaving your life in the church over something frivolous and little, that hurts. He said, that's the toughest part. And I understand that. But you know what? All I know is this. I want to love like Jesus loved. I want to reach out to those that nobody else wants to reach out to. I don't want God's people to go, when we do. Because what does that say? Whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. I've asked that question before, but I'm going to ask it again. Do you see this woman? Do you see this man? Do you see this coworker? Do you see this neighbor? Do you see this person sitting in or about or around you? Do you really see him? How about that crabby person in your life? Oh, trust me, I know. I've seen them. I mean, they just make you draw up all over when you see them. You know what the Lord says? They got a story. Maybe, just maybe, you need to find out what their story is. Because when you hear their story, you may view them differently. Back in Virginia, when I lived there, there was this guy that was just salty. Can I use that term? We country folk, we understand salty, don't we? He's just salty. And everybody said, he's just salty. He's just a grouchy old man, and he don't have nothing nice to say to anybody. And that's what I'd heard from everybody. And I had a chance to encounter him one time. Let me tell you about him. He was a grouchy, salty old man. And boy, he was just ripping into me. But the Lord just had me hold my peace until he ran out of gas. And I called him by name, which I won't mention. And I said, can I talk to you a minute?
What do you want to talk to me about?
I said, I don't want to talk about any of this legal stuff. I said, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. I said, I just want to hear your story. And when he told his story, he had had a good job, had a family. His wife and his child were killed in an automobile accident. He had no other family. He lost his job, had gotten laid off, could hardly make ends meet, couldn't find another job. He had a lot of stuff going on. As he told that story, he just broke down. He said, I don't even know why I'm telling you this, cop. I said, well, let me tell you why. I said, because God sent me here to you today. I said, that's number one. I said, number two, I'm just pretending to be a cop until God gets me into ministry where he's called me. Then he looked at me real funny. I said, no, it's real. I promise it. It's not a Halloween costume, but I'm just passing through this profession to get where God wants me to be. And I said, he sent me here today because he loves you. He loves you. And he broke down again. I said, now, are you willing to work on your attitude a little bit? You know what he actually told me? He said, I don't know how. I've been this way for so long. I said, you start with loving people. Believe it or not, this old guy, it was getting close to Christmas time, actually dressed up like Santa Claus. And part of his problem was all the kids, you know, he was the true get off of my lawn guy. And before long, every kid in that neighborhood loved that guy because he started loving them. We'd go by and see him. Listen, even the police officers that said he was a crabby old guy would go by and take toys to this guy because he would go and visit the kids in the neighborhood. And everything changed about him. You know what changed about him? He knew somebody loved him. He knew the Lord loved him, and that was all he needed, and he wanted to express that love. So all of a sudden, he began to see that child, that man, that woman, that neighbor, those police officers. He began to see them differently. Listening to those guys say, man, that dude has changed. I said, thanks be to God. But a lot of it depends on our vision. What do you see? Listen, when you see others, do you see what God has done for you? Now, if you're sitting back going, well, I'm a pretty good person, then you're not looking through the right lens. You're not looking through the lens of the Holy Spirit. And the way that you look through the lens of the Holy Spirit is you've got to be in His presence. How do you get in his presence? Right here. This is how you get to know him. Do you know him? That's the question. I'm going to ask Brad if he would take his place, as well as our musicians, as we come about this time of invitation. And I always say this, it's not my invitation, it is the Lord's invitation to you, because softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Have you trusted him? Have you said, Lord, I understand I need you, that I'm a sinner, and I just need what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross through the death, burial, and resurrection. I need you. Have you done that? Listen, right now is the time. Listen, don't even wait. We're not promised our next heartbeat. Just where you are, just confess to the Lord. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. Forgive me and save my soul. See, that's a cry. And the Father hears your cry. And he'll save you. Maybe we're here today and we have just been nasty. We have not seen people through the eyes of the Spirit. Maybe the Lord's convicted your heart to say, do you see this man? Do you see this woman? But listen, look past all the junk that's hindering you. Look past the anger that you have right now. Look past the bitterness toward that person and see them the way Jesus sees them, because they've got a story and you probably don't know it. You may never know it. But you need to have compassion, because that's what God's children do. Maybe you need to confess that before him today and simply say, Lord, I'm just a mess. That's theology. Lord, I'm a mess. I need your help. Help me, Father. Draw me close to you and help me to see others the way you do. And I promise you that if you do, and you mean it, you will begin to have a different view of those around you. Can we see different as we leave today? Listen, whatever God has led in your heart to do, whether you took care of it there, if you need this old altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. Whatever God has, don't let it slip away. Don't let Satan lie to you. It's important. Take care of it right now. Now is the time. Today is the day. As we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn, which is number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? That's what the song says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Listen, do business with God. He's speaking to you now. Don't let the Spirit get away from you during this moment. As you do that, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Father, as we come to you now, we're blessed to be able to worship you by returning to you the tithe and the offering. And Lord, we know that that you have provided for us. All good things come from you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, that you might bless us in return by being faithful in our giving. Lord, help us to have wisdom and insight in the best way to be a good steward of what is yours. And then, Lord, we also ask that you would bless this ministry team as we prepare to go out. What you lead in the hearts of the people will be what will be able to be accomplished as we go. So, Father, bless this time of worship as we return to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I just want to say this real quick as we get you out of here. There was just a really sweet spirit here today, and I appreciate each and every one of you just worshiping in song. Man, it just meant a lot to me. I don't know about y'all. I hope it did, but I know for me personally, it meant a lot. Choir, you guys singing, it was just, wow, moving. If you weren't blessed, let's talk. You got a problem, okay? Anyway, let me just tell you what we got going on today. Just a couple quick things. Birthdays this week. Today is our secretary, Debbie Sullivan. Wait a minute, I probably said that right. Administrative assistant, Debbie Sullivan. Her birthday is today, this coming Thursday. Chris Sawyer will be having a birthday, and Friday Annette Joyce will be having a birthday. So as you have the opportunity, be sure to wish those folks a happy birthday. Let them know that that you love them, that you care for them, and just blow up their text box, mailbox, whatever box you got. Just let them know how much you love them and care about them. Just a couple things. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. More room. Brad likes to add chairs, so if you can remotely sing, see Brad. He'll put you in the choir. If you can't sing, he'll put you beside somebody who can, and we'll get you going. Choir practice, 5 o'clock. Bible study, adult Bible study in here at 6 o'clock. D-Life group, which is the men's discipleship group, we do meet at 3:30 over in the other building. We are on for today. Band rehearsal. We have band rehearsal this evening at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary after the Bible study. And Awana at 5:30, our normal time. So keep those things in mind for the day. And then also on Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 10 a.m., there is a men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax. So if you have an opportunity, swing by there. Lots of good eats and lots of good company. Ain't that right, Bill Gray? Hallelujah. We can eat good. But at any rate, thank you guys. Also, I just want to let you know that today the flowers that are up front are in memory of Bobby Middlebrook. who went on to be with the Lord this past week. So we certainly want to keep Georgie in our prayers. That was Georgie's daddy. So we want to keep Georgie in our prayers because she was actually looking after her dad. He was 94, had a good long life on this earth, and we know where he is. So those are the things that we take comfort in. But do remember Georgie and her family. Again, flowers in memory of Bobby Middlebrook. And then also, before I turn it over to David to see us off in prayer, this week I have, on Tuesday, a transesophageal echocardiogram, otherwise known as the TEE. Now, let me give that to you in country term. They're going to put me to sleep, run a probe down my throat, and do an echocardiogram. So that's all part of this thing that happened in December. They're just checking some things out. They were supposed to actually be implanting a heart monitor to keep an eye on what's going on with the ticker, but that's not going to happen because the nurse, at least not Tuesday, but the nurse called and said that the cardiologist, how dare him, his wife's going to be having a baby this week. How dare he call those things off like that? So I said, well, I can understand that. I think that's a pretty good excuse. So that may be down the road, but I've got that on Tuesday. So I appreciate your prayers. Like I said, I've never really, up until this past December, been in a hospital a day in my life. So everything freaks me out about hospitals and everything else when you're the one in the bed. I've always liked what David has said. I've lived by that motto when it comes to surgery, which they actually call this. There's two kinds of surgery, major and minor, and it's minor if it's on anybody else. It's major if it's on you. So I have a major surgery coming up on Tuesday. So keep me in your prayers. We'll keep you posted. Everything should be good. We're trusting the Lord through that. David, come on up. See us off in a word of prayer, brother.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, God. When we think about love, we realize that you are love. You don't just do love, you are love. And we thank you for your love for us, Lord. God, we pray that you'll help us take this message we've heard today and just spend some time loving on some folks this week and help them to know that you love them. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Lord, bring us back tonight to serve and worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.